Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for our little ones. Father, we're thankful that you love them. And Lord, we're thankful that they can be a part of our service as well, and just the ways you're working in their lives. And we are so thankful for our mothers and the ways that they are pouring into these little ones as well. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we think about your glory, as we think about the praise that is due your name, as we think about the work that you've done on the cross, Jesus, Father, I pray that we would magnify your Son and that you, Father, would also be magnified and glorified. Father, I pray you'd speak through me. And Father, I look forward to seeing the ways you will encourage us, Lord, because, oh, I know I need encouragement. And I pray, Father, by your grace that you will do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. I am so thankful for my mother. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom if you're listening. And we're going to be talking this morning about the glory of God, but got to be honest, one of the key players in teaching me about the glory of God is my mom. I'm so thankful for my mother. At 5 years old, my mom explained the gospel to me. And I know there are many mothers in here who have done the same for their children as well. And so I'm so thankful that my mom expressed to me my need for Jesus. She expressed to me my need for a Savior. I will tell you, at 5 years old, I had no problem admitting that I was a sinner. Maybe some five-year-olds can't figure that out. I had no problem. My mom had helped me walk through that. I knew that I needed Jesus. In fact, my mom has reminded me when I was five. I'm a public school kid, so I was in kindergarten, and I was five years old again. I figured that all of my classmates in my public school were Christians because obviously they knew they needed Jesus too. And so I'm just so thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for the way that she spoke truth into my life. I want to just thank you mothers who are doing the same. I know that being a mother is not easy because I'm the oldest of three boys. And so I know that there was a lot of grace given to us. I know that we needed grace because, man, all I know is boys are messy because I was messy. And I needed a lot of grace, and my mom gave me a lot of grace. So I want to thank you, mothers. You're grace givers. You are loving your kids. And also just want to be just recognizing that today can be a hard day as well. We know that there are people who struggle with Mother's Day, not only because maybe there is a loss, maybe that they've experienced, maybe their mother is no longer here. And that is a sad thing, sad reality. We can still be thankful for our mothers. But it's also a hard day because being a mother can be hard. And so maybe right now you're in the midst of being a mother and it's not looking the way you planned. Regardless of circumstance this morning, I just want to remind us of our Savior this morning, remind us of our God, that we are all created for the praise of God's glory this morning. And we can all look to Jesus. We can all look to his redeeming work. We can all look to his grace. And with that, I want to start off with the passage in Ephesians we're going to be looking at this morning. It's Ephesians 1, 7 through 12. Last week we talked about the spiritual blessings of God. And now this morning we're going to be looking at one of the blessings we have about being redeemed and the grace of God that we've been given. So with that, I want to make sure, first of all, though, before we read, I think it's important that as you're listening, you listen for the nouns and the pronouns that are stated in this passage. Because if you don't get the nouns and pronouns in the right order, and pronouns, those are the words that are used for nouns so that we don't just keep saying the noun over and over again. You know, like his, me, I, her, those are all pronouns. So if you don't get your nouns and pronouns in the right order, you can't live the transformed life. So be cognizant of the nouns and pronouns in this passage. And I want to make sure you know that you have to get these nouns and pronouns in the right order. Because if you put a me or an I instead of a his in this passage, you're going to get things mixed up. Also, I just want to quick define a word that's in this passage. It's called grace. We use this word grace a lot, in part because our church is called Grace. But grace, the definition of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That is favor that has nothing due to what we've done. We've not earned God's favor. He's just given it to us. And so when you hear that word grace, picture that unmerited favor that we've been given through putting our trust in Jesus and the grace that he's given us through the work of Jesus on the cross. So listen along as I read this passage starting in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. It's another noun. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all, including us, things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. I love the pronouns and the nouns in this passage because we get a picture of how awesome our God is and how much he thinks of us this morning. And so I want to start off, I just want to read again verses 7 and the first half of verse 8. Let's just process this again. It says, in him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. These are our sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us. And so again, we have to get these nouns and these pronouns in the right order if we want to live the transformed life that God's called us to live. Because first and foremost, understand, it's about him. This life's about him. Because in him we have redemption. My redemption has nothing to do with me. There's no work that I did to redeem myself. Nothing could be done to redeem myself, which speaks of the nature of the problem that I have. Because the problem I have is that I need to be redeemed. You've needed to be redeemed. Because there's a penalty to pay for sin. We all deserve to be separated from God. There's no way we could redeem ourselves. But in him, we have redemption. And I do love that word, redemption. Because it speaks of the messiness of my relationship with God. It speaks of the messiness of the reality that I have messed up and I make mistakes. And I've made plenty of mistakes, but all it took was one. All it took was one to not reach God's standard. And no one can reach God's standard of perfection. But God knew that. He knew that we needed redemption. So he sent his son Jesus. We celebrated this on Easter. To be our Savior, to die on the cross for our sins, so that through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that would happen, that we would have forgiveness, because we need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. So you need redemption, and you need to be forgiven. And God knew that, because God doesn't need grace. God doesn't need to be forgiven. He's perfect. God doesn't need to be redeemed. He doesn't need that, but we need that. You need that this morning. But through in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that unmerited favor that he lavished on us. Again, We got to get our nouns and pronouns in the right order. We have to understand that it's his unmerited favor. That is why he forgives us. It's because even though we don't deserve God's grace, even though it's never going to be about me that Jesus went to the cross, it's never going to be about the work that I've done, it's going to be about me, but it's going to only be because he loves me. Because he decided he was going to love me. Thank God he loves me. Thanks God he loves you. He went to the cross so he could forgive you because of the plan he had, because he was going to give us redemption. So he's the one who redeems. He's the one who forgives. He's the one who favors us. He does that. But on the flip side, this morning, that means, if he's the one that does that, that means that you and I, if you put your trust in Jesus, you are redeemed. Live. Are you living like you're redeemed? You are forgiven. Are you living like you're forgiven this morning? And you are favored, highly favored, with an unmerited favor. You could never earn God's favor. He just favors you this morning. Like a mother who favors their child, our God, in so much of a greater way, favors us, his children. You are favored with the grace of God that he lavishes on us. And so this morning, as I was thinking about the grace of God, I know in my mind when I think of grace, I can sometimes think about grace like this. This is me. This is you. You are a red solo cup this morning. This is the grace of God. And I know sometimes I think about the grace of God like it's there. It kind of like, I know it can fill, but I don't think about how much it actually does fill me. That his unmerited favor for me is enough. So sometimes I think about the unmerited favor of God and I forget how much he favors me, how much he redeemed me, that I am totally redeemed, that I am totally forgiven of the sins that I've committed, the sins that I will commit today, the future sins. He's already forgiven them because I put my trust in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. So sometimes I think about the grace and I think about how, you know, I know it gets there. I know that it reaches, it can fill me up, but I don't think about how much it fills me. I don't think about how much he's lavished it upon me, that I'm never going to have to worry about running out of God's grace. So I have to be reminded that God's grace, it overflows. But still, sometimes when I think about God's grace, I don't recognize how much he's given me through his grace. I don't recognize what it means to be redeemed by Jesus, that I've been redeemed by the God of the universe, and I don't need to be afraid about being forgiven. You don't need to be afraid of being forgiven. So I think I need to recognize grace. And when I think about grace, I need to think about grace and the freedom of the grace that God has given me. When I think about that grace, it overflows. It overflows. And I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid of the grace of God. Because even still, sometimes I wonder, is that grace enough? Is the redeeming work of Jesus enough for you? Is it enough for me? Do I really have a transformed life? So again, I think we have to be reminded that the grace of God, it is so much more than that. The grace of God, it overflows. It overflows. It overflows in our lives. We need not be afraid, because the grace of God, truly, truly, if I'm thinking about the grace of God, it overflows so much that I can be who God has created me to be. I don't need to worry about being favored. I don't need to worry, because the grace is so much that I just need to be and understand what it means to be forgiven, to understand what it means to be a child of God, to understand that I am redeemed and that you are redeemed this morning. So are you living out your identity as being redeemed? Because it's going to change the way you live because of what he has done for you. And we've just started this morning, first verse and a half, and I've already want you to understand the grace of God. And so we'll continue now, starting with all wisdom in verse 8, and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Notice, his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So let's go back here. So with all wisdom and understanding, he. I love that because we're talking about the wisdom and understanding of the God of the universe. There is no one wiser. There is no one who could understand more than our God. That means there's no one that could understand our need for a Savior more than our God. And there's no one who could forgive us like our God. So he's got the wisdom. He's got the understanding to forgive. And as it continues, he made known to us the mystery of his will. I am so thankful for a God who allows me to know the gospel and understand the gospel. I think it's important for us to recognize just the power of his sovereignty, the understanding, the work of his will, that he would save me. He would purpose Christ, as the passage says, to be my Savior. He had the wisdom to do that. And I'm thankful that not only is that true, but he's actually helped me to understand my need for a Savior. And he's allowed me to put my trust in him. Now the passage from here, it's going to get a little confusing for the rest of verse 10. It says, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Now we have to understand, there's not only a now that we are saved, if you put your trust in Jesus, but there's a future that is to come for us who are saved. And so there's a future unity that's going to take place. That unity, we can understand it. This unity we could talk about for the rest of the morning. But the unity I want you to grasp this morning that we experience, that unity is a unity that we have in Christ. We as brothers and sisters, we can be unified because we are forgiven. We are forgiven people. And there's also an understanding here. I don't want you to miss this too, because you're going to find out more about the mystery later on in Ephesians. So I don't want to steal that part of the passage when we get there later on in Ephesians this summer. But I want you to recognize also that there's also a purpose in God's will that there were Jews who were the people of God. If you've read the Bible at all, especially the Old Testament, maybe right now you're reading the Old Testament and you're learning about the Jews. Those were they were the people of God who were in many respects, they were unified as people of God, obedient as people of God, to show the world who God was. But thankfully, it didn't end there because Jesus Christ came. He was the one who was going to forgive the Jews, past tense. Now he's forgiving us and the Jews of their sins. And so just as God purposed the Jews at one time to show the world our need for God, the God of the universe, and Jesus who was to come, so now we have the church. We the Gentiles, which most of you guys are Gentiles, you're not Jews. I'm not a Jew. In fact, I took Ancestry.com, and that has now clarified that for me. There's nothing in me that is Jewish that I know of, at least at this point. But all that to say, that God had a plan. He had a plan that he was going to have the Jews. But now he has also allowed us as Gentiles to experience the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. He had a plan for that. And there's going to be a future unity where he's going to bring the Jews together. He's going to bring the Gentiles together. We're going to be able to be in heaven as one unified people through Jesus Christ. So there's a future unity that is to come. But I want to ask you this morning, just as there's a future unity, are you excited? Are you living out the reality that there is a future unity to come? Because it's going to change the way you live. Because you're going to be looking for unity. Because we know that our God is a God of unity. So are you living your life looking for unity? Knowing there's a future unity to come because of the grace that God has given us in accordance with his awesome will, which brings him pleasure that he would forgive us, redeem us, lavish his grace upon us. And so now we jump down to verse 11 and verse 12. Again, notice it started in verse 7. In him, here we are again, verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We just talked about that. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. So, first of all, I love that word chosen, because to me that word chosen can gives me so much confidence. Because if I'm chosen, I don't have to wonder who I am. As we talked about last week, I love the word adoption too. We talked about earlier in Ephesians. The fact that I'm an adopted child. I have all the benefits, all the rights of being a son and son. You have all the rights of being a son or daughter of God. It's amazing. I don't have to wonder what my identity is. I am a son of God. I don't have to worry about who I am. So I am chosen confidently because He's predestined me in accordance with the plan of His will. He had a plan for all this. He knew you were going to come. Before the foundations of the earth, He knew you were going to come. He knew you were going to be a Grace Church. He knew you were going to be a part of what God was doing in the Lake Katrina area. He knows the people that you're going to influence. He's sovereignly working in their hearts. I'm so excited this summer. There's a youth team. We're going to Baltimore. And we've been talking about how we're going to be going and doing God's mission in Baltimore. And we're already starting to pray for those people that we're going to minister to, knowing that right now, maybe they're in church. Or maybe right now they're walking the streets of Baltimore and they don't know Jesus. So we're already praying for them, knowing that God's working in their lives, and we look forward to seeing the way He's going to work through us into their lives this summer. So we know, we understand that He has a will. He's already working. We can trust Him in that. It brings Him pleasure again. And it's ultimately for His purpose. My life, your life, it's for His purpose. Again, to me, that gives me so much confidence, and truthfully, it gives me comfort. Because there are days when I don't feel like I'm measuring up. There are days when I don't feel like a child of God. There are days when my mind wanders and I allow Satan to get the better of me. Maybe you experience the same. There are days when I think all about my purposes. But when I'm reminded that it's about His purpose, my life is about His purpose, I don't need to be afraid. And even when I mess up, I remember the grace that He's lavished on me. So I can keep moving. I can keep living. I can keep being on God's mission. Because He doesn't want me to stop. He doesn't want you to stop. So you can keep moving in His will, trusting Him, knowing that He sovereignly not only has chosen you, giving you confidence, but He's working through you. And even when you mess up, the God of the universe is still working. Still working. Imagine that. We would think that we, as people, could mess up the plan of God. He is a sovereign God. He is a sovereign God who works, and He wills His pleasure through us. I am amazed at that reality. And then verse 12, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Now, context-wise, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking to the church in Ephesus. So he's expressing how he put his trust in Jesus. And the cool thing about Paul is, Paul was not a believer when Jesus died on the cross. Not only that, he wasn't a disciple when Jesus died on the cross. He was an enemy. He went on and persecuted Christians. That's who he was. But God had a plan for Paul. God had a plan knowing that He was going to redeem Paul. Paul, who made so many mistakes. You think you made mistakes? Paul had to wrestle with this all his life. I mean, he killed the people who would become his brothers and sisters. So you need grace and forgiveness? Paul needed grace and forgiveness. There's plenty of grace and forgiveness. If there's enough grace for Paul, there's enough grace for us. Let's let the grace of God overflow in our lives. So Paul's speaking in part about himself. He's saying that God had a plan for him, which I think he needed to remind himself. God had a plan for him, that He was going to redeem him. He was going to forget the mistakes. He was going to use him for His honor and glory to bring other people to Jesus. It's because of what Paul did to help spread the gospel that this church really existed in many ways. The reason why this church existed was because Paul had been spreading the gospel in that area. And so he's speaking of himself when he says that what he did, being a part of God's grace and allowing God's grace to overflow in his life to spread the gospel, to be grace beyond the walls, it's for His honor and glory, for God's honor and glory, to the praise, says, I want to get it right. That we might be for the praise of God's glory, or the praise of His glory. And that's true for Paul, but understand this morning, that's also true for you. The grace that you've experienced, the overflow of that grace, the redeeming work of God, verse 7, it's ultimately all for His praise. Your life, you exist for the praise of God's glory. It doesn't diminish who you are, it actually magnifies who you are, because you are a part of what the God of the universe is doing. He's redeemed you. He saved you. You are who you are because of Him. And He wants you to be who you are because of Him. He wants you to be His son or daughter. And so, Grace Church, I just want to wrap this up with this again, this question. Are your nouns and pronouns in the right order? Are your nouns and pronouns in the right order? Have you put the nouns and pronouns in the paragraph? Because if Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, then there's no redeeming work. We need Jesus to be our Redeemer. So if you put the pronoun in the sentence, you've started the paragraph. You've started the transformed life, and you're living the transformed life. So let's recognize that our lives, because of His redeeming work, are now meant to magnify and glorify the God of the universe. We magnify Him. It's like a mirror. This morning, maybe when you were getting ready, you looked in a mirror to see what you looked like, so you knew how other people would see you at Grace Church. Where it's no judge zone, I hope, but maybe you did that. I know for me, every time I put on this microphone, I always have to look in a mirror, because otherwise this gets all crazy in the back. So I had to look in a mirror this morning. But in the same way, just as you look in a mirror to see who you are, recognize that we are magnifying, we are mirroring to the world who God is. We are mirroring to the world that our God deserves all the praise and glory. Your life magnifies that. You glorify God in everything you do because of what He's done on the cross for you. So I hope that you are living that out. Are you living your life to the praise and glory of Him, God, through Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, I thank You. Jesus, I thank You for going to the cross, for redeeming us, for lavishing grace. And God, I pray for those who need to be reminded of the grace of God this morning in their lives. They would experience it. They'd experience forgiveness because You've forgiven us, Jesus. Oh, God, we need forgiveness, and we're thankful that You give it to us in abundance. And Father, I pray that we would live out our identities, Father, that we'd recognize that we are created to be redeemed, to magnify Your name, Jesus, to magnify Your grace to the world, that they might also experience Your grace, that they also would experience what it means to be a son and daughter of You, God. I thank You for our mothers this morning, God. I thank You for the ways they are teaching our kids how to live this life of being people who praise and glory, give You praise and glory in everything that we do. Pray You continue to guide them in teaching and pointing their children to You, God, that we might be known through the Lake Katrine area as a people who give You the honor and glory, that we are made and we live our lives for Your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.